Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 107 of the Necessary Roughness podcast, presented by Last Word on Sports. I'm your host, Nicholas Denonic. Hope you all are getting into the groove, you know, of the summer, having a good summer. Obviously, this is the July episode. My birthday wasn't so far behind this one. First episode at 24 years old. Let's see if I'm over the hill. Or if I'm still in my prime, or if I'm even coming into my prime. Let's find out. But I hope you're all doing well. Hope you're all excited. Obviously, the preseason going to be underway by the time we do our next episode. But we got a little bit to get through in the meantime. Hope you're all gearing up for football. Maybe you're, you know, just indulging in some other sports. The Olympics just started. NBA Finals just concluded. Congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo silencing everyone with a huge performance in Game 6 and a huge performance from the free throw line. And that realistically, I mean, it shocked me. 17 of 19, it was preposterously good and good for him. Or if you're a baseball fan, hope you're into the thick of it. You know, dog days of summer, this is where baseball starts to heat up. Trade deadline in no time. We're not going to talk too much about that, however. With that being said, obviously not too much to break down in terms of football. A little too early to get into our preseason projections, as we haven't even started the preseason yet. Still in the offseason easily. So I'm thinking the next episode, and I'll mention it nice and early for you this time, and I'll usually wait till the end, although it is in the description every time. I'm targeting August 21st, I figure. 21st, we'll start to get into one of the conferences. 28th, we'll break down the other conference. The 4th will be right before the beginning of week one. Game number one is September the 9th, Buccaneers-Cowboys, and we'll have enough time in that September 4th episode to preview the game, get into our postseason projections, our award predictions, which are right sometimes, you know, who knows. We'll see how that goes, but we are still in the offseason, so abbreviated standout 7 is where we're going. Number one, just kind of some weird stuff going on right now. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you're a football fan, I think you kind of know what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about the Green Bay Packers just yet. I'm talking about the fact that we've had two, ironically, both, I believe, offensive line coaches opt out, I guess, technically, or be relieved of their duties. Might be the more cogent way to put it. Might have butchered that word, but we'll keep going. So this is per Adam Schefter. Quote, after refusing to receive a vaccine for COVID-19, Rick Dennison and the Vikings have parted ways. Sources told ESPN's Courtney Cronin. Dennison spent the last 2 years as their O-line coach and run game coordinator, the first position coach to part ways with his team after choosing to not receive a vaccine, which is required for all NFL Tier 1 staff, coaches, front office executives, equipment managers, and scouts, but not players. Players will face strict protocols during training camp throughout the season if they are unvaccinated. Then, just later that day, Patriots' co-offensive line coach, didn't even know that was a thing, Cole Popovich, opted out or was relieved of his duties, whichever you prefer. I mean, if you don't get the vaccine, you know you're going to be relieved of your duties, so I kind of think it's in your hands at that point. Won't be with the team in a decision related to the COVID-19 vaccine, according to Mike Reese. This could kind of be a big deal. And I know we don't talk about off-the-field stuff, and look, I run the show, and I don't make it my priority to talk about off-the-field stuff. I don't think it's usually pertinent, but I tend to think this might be. There's also a deleted tweet. Obviously, if it's deleted, you can't really tell, but reportedly a deleted tweet from DeAndre Hopkins. Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. Also coming down that the NFL will fine unvaccinated players up to $15,000 when they violate COVID-19 protocols. So there's a lot coming down, and just when we kind of thought, or hoped probably, that we were moving past the COVID side of things, it never goes away, and, you know, maybe it never will. I hope it does. And I hope that all you guys are safe out there, first and foremost, and that really is part of this thing. You know, it's up to each player and coach to, you know, do what they believe is best for their safety. So it is what it is. I tend to think there might be more coaches that kind of lean this way. You might see a handful of scouts. You might see a handful of executives. It's not as open and shut as one would tend to think. Now, whatever your opinion is on it, look, I'm not bringing my opinion into it. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying it's not open and shut, it seems, to most people, or at least some people, I should say, whether or not they should be vaccinated or not, and that's their business. And it's going to be interesting to see, because there are going to be, we saw the whole thing with Cole Beasley. I don't know if we talked about that yet. If we didn't, Cole Beasley was openly talking about how he did not want to get the vaccine and how it didn't really matter to him, you know, and if it put a strain on his NFL career, then he's had a good run, essentially. So it's intriguing to me, but I don't think we want to go down that road. I do hope that whatever happens, if there's some external pressures or whatever, that the players and coaches involved make the decision that they want to make and whatever's best for them. And obviously, Dennison and Popovich were in positions where they don't mind, you know, losing their job. Now, is it right, using the air quotes, that they have to lose their job because they don't want to get the vaccine? I'm not here to discuss that. That, just telling you the news. That's a discussion for another show. Go to First Take or something, because we don't usually go down that road here. Number two in the standout seven, a road we go down fairly frequently. Let's talk about Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey offers blunt admission about former Jaguars executive Tom Coughlin. CBS Sports, and this is by Jeff Kerr from about a week ago. I'm going to read you quite a bit of the quotes from this. I think it's intriguing, to say the least, and then we'll talk about Jalen Ramsey in, you know, immediately after. He was on Aqib Talib's Catchin' Fades podcast, and he had these things to say. To be honest, we didn't like Tom Coughlin. That's what it came down to. That was his first year in there, and we were a sorry team the year before. We went from having a relaxed coaching staff that let us be adults. We were too young for that at the time. We were too young a team to know how to really treat that. When they brought in Coughlin, he went complete opposite. It felt like even worse than college at times. We felt that half the stuff he was trying to implement wasn't even about football. You have to wear white socks. Doesn't matter if I wear white socks or black socks, the receiver's going to get shut down regardless. Then he goes on to talk about a little spat that Coughlin had with him over attending voluntary OTAs. Okay, that happens all the time. He was traded in the fall of 19, having had enough of Coughlin in the front office. The divorce was inevitable. Look, as a New Yorker and as growing up as a New York Giants fan, I can tell you pretty easily that Tom Coughlin is an old school guy, as everyone knows. Now, Tom Coughlin brought the same approach he brought to Jacksonville to the New York Football Giants when he was hired. And the fact of the matter is, it wasn't necessarily working because there wasn't buy-in from the vets. And inevitably, and I do say inevitably because it's in the past, what happened was Michael Strahan, who at the time was considering reportedly at some times even asking out or trying to retire, he came down and he had a sit-down and had an agreement with Tom Coughlin. He said, look, you got to ease up a little bit and we'll put in a little bit more effort. You know what I mean? It was a give and take. And Coughlin softened during his time as the Giants head coach. You could argue softened too much, as we see, you know, the boat trip that ensued. I believe that was after his tenure with Odell Beckham. But he was there when Odell Beckham was being a problem child. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to see something like this, because Tom's not going to say anything back. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, look, Jalen Ramsey is a good defensive back. He is. He's a good DB. He's a good corner. Great player, even. But it's intriguing to see something like this come out so randomly now. I mean, what's why? Not to mention, Tom Coughlin, in my book, as a two-time Super Bowl champion, you could consider him for the Hall of Fame. Would he get in? Probably not. I think Eli Manning has a better case as a player than Coughlin has as a coach, but in body of work, and he grew the Jaguars team into a Super Bowl contender that was almost a legitimate representative of the AFC if they could hold the lead, and that's not really on Coughlin. He's up in the front office. He's not on the sidelines coaching that team. So, intriguing, you know, point of distinction. If Jalen Ramsey retired tomorrow, he would not be a Hall of Famer. And if Jalen Ramsey goes about his career pretty much the same way he has, I don't necessarily think Jalen Ramsey will be a Hall of Famer. I'm not trying to say that you need a gold jacket to bash someone who's a candidate for a gold jacket or something like that. But what I will say is that Jalen Ramsey's coming off a year in which, you know, his team was all right. Let's take a look at the Rams last year. 10-6, you know, losing the divisional round to the Packers. They were good. Jalen Ramsey, in the last three seasons, has 5 interceptions. Are interceptions the be-all, end-all for corners? No, but he had 4 in 2017 with the Jags, the year in which, you know, they went to the conference championship. So he had 4 then, 5 since. Look, I get it. They don't throw at him as much, perhaps. You know, different defensive scheme, different game has changed in a few years. Sure, all that, yada, yada, yada. But I don't understand why the pot shots are really necessary. Look, if you really got beef with Tom Coughlin, go prove you're a winner. Go prove you're a team guy. Because that's how it came across when you were run out of Jacksonville, or if you want to put it that way, or if you made your trip out of Jacksonville, inevitably via trade, as they said in the article. I think what it comes down to is some of the stuff that's been said about Jalen Ramsey is kind of true. And I think Jalen Ramsey's trying to come back with some stuff that's probably also true, but to try and discredit some of the things that were said about him. Now, did he run a tight ship? Probably. Did he run too tight a ship? I guess so, because it forced out some of these guys. But I don't know. I think it's a little excessive and unnecessary this many years after the fact with a guy that really doesn't care enough to give you a response, and a guy that, in my experience and from what I understand, is pretty widely respected in a lot of NFL circles. It's just kind of odd to me. Number 3, and this is how you tell we're in the offseason, by the way. We're just talking about things that are a little bit odd. Number 3 in standout 7, Aaron Rodgers turns down an extension, reportedly, from the Green Bay Packers, which would have been 2 years to make him the highest paid player in the NFL. So, if you're wondering, who is the highest paid player in the NFL? They've had all these crazy contracts. According to AZ Central, highest paid player via AAV, obviously Patrick Mahomes at $45 million. Dak Prescott at $40. Deshaun Watson at $39. Will Deshaun Watson even play? Lord knows. Russell Wilson at $35. Rodgers all the way down there. He's making $10 an hour. You know. Oh wait, no, that was me. Oh, he's making $33.5 million. Oh, that's it? Okay. That's it? You sure? That doesn't sound right. I'm pretty sure they were paying him about 13 cents an hour to make license plates. Never mind. I was thinking of somebody else. So that's just the way it is. Once again, obviously, that's based on AAV. What does it actually break down to? SpotRack has the yearly cash for him at 21.5 for this year, and the two following seasons at 25.5 per. In terms of this coming year, 14.7 million base salary, 11.5 signing bonus, 6.8 million roster bonus. You know what I mean? It all works out to whatever. His cap hit is currently 37.2 million. The following two seasons would be 39.8 and 28.35. Does this matter at all? No. No, it does not. It is apparent that he does not want to be in Green Bay, and we've talked about this several times. Additionally, something that we weren't really going to mention, but it kind of makes sense, and it ties in there. Devontae Adams, his star wide receiver, who seems to get along pretty well with Aaron Rodgers, reportedly had his contract negotiations break down recently as well. He is in the final year of his contract. Now, what I'm going to say might not make a whole bunch of sense. It makes sense if he were to be in a bit of a tizzy over the fact that there's no contract extension coming there. Perhaps there is one coming. He just didn't like the number. Maybe it was $60 million instead of 67, and you know, something like that. Maybe it'll get done. Maybe he doesn't want to sign because his quarterback might not be there, and he doesn't want to play with some random that he doesn't know if he's going to be any good. Maybe he's watched Larry Fitzgerald get his career wasted in Arizona and doesn't want to wind up like that. Is Devontae Adams Larry Fitzgerald-esque? No, not at all. But Devontae Adams is quite talented, one of the better receivers in the NFL, and I can understand why he'd want to play with a good QB. Additionally, you have to consider, though, if Rodgers doesn't play this year, or if Rodgers plays for another football team, Devontae's not going to have the same kind of stats, because they're inevitably going to run a different offense. We say inevitably like six times this episode already. They're going to run a different offense. It's going to feature more of the ground and pound kind of style with A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones and the like. And that wouldn't bode well for his numbers. Would that hurt his contract aspirations? Probably not. I think the only thing that could really hurt that is a really bad year with just where he looks like he doesn't want to be there. So he's running routes poorly, low effort, dropping balls. I don't think that'll happen. Or if he were to get injured, which would be worst case scenario for anyone in a contract year. So it's an intriguing situation if you're, you know, in the Green Bay front office. Because obviously you want Rodgers, but he's getting older. Obviously you want Adams, and he's in his prime. 29 years old this season, 30 years old for the 2022 season. So it's a little interesting to me that the Devontae Adams contract wasn't almost prioritized. Or if it was, that they let it get to the point where the contract has fallen through because everything that's going on with Rodgers. They really could have front-loaded, so to speak, their off-season process and tried to get this done ASAP. But then again, the monkey wrench in there is Rodgers, Rodgers, Rodgers. Will he play a game in Green Bay this year? I don't know. My stance from the outset was that he would. He would remain there. Usually, when a guy's under contract like that, I said the same thing with Deshaun Watson, and then everything popped up off the field. I don't really know what's going on there, if there's going to be a suspension coming. You look in Major League Baseball, just for an example, and a player like Trevor Bauer is being accused of some pretty serious things, and he's been on administrative leave for a while, while things shake out off the field. Would the same thing happen with Deshaun Watson? I think it's possible. I think it might be. I might go as far as saying it's likely. But those things apparently were settled out of court. I don't know. We saw Ben get a suspension for something similar, and he wasn't accused 20-plus times. Leader in the clubhouse on the worst leaderboard you want to be on. So, I don't know. Hedge a bet, gun to my head, I think Rodgers wears green and gold this year. Either way. Number four in the standout seven, there was reports coming out, and I thought this is an interesting thing to discuss, that the San Francisco 49ers wanted Matthew Stafford. So, this is interesting to me, because where does that leave one James Garoppolo? I get it, James played six games last year, he went 3-3, you know, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, 5 picks, and I don't know, is my answer, because obviously, we take a look at their draft picks, they went QB, but from what I heard on Trey Lance might not be ready day one, you know, so is Trey Lance gonna sit? What's gonna happen? You take a look at the rest of their draft while we're here, by the way. They get a guard from Notre Dame, a running back from Ohio State, corner out of Michigan, O-lineman once again out of Western Michigan, DB, safety, another running back to finish off. Now, the interesting thing becomes when you take a look at their schedule, they're not exactly in a favorable position in their division, but some of their out-of-division games might be a little bit more friendly. We see them start in Week 1 taking on the Detroit Lions. It's a winnable game. It really is. We're not going to go win-loss on this, but we're going to talk about some of the games that could put them in a decent position out of division. They go to Philly. Very winnable. They play Green Bay. If Green Bay doesn't have Rodgers, throw it in the air. It's a toss-up. It really is. We take a look as we get going. The Colts might be a little rough. QB drafted battle. Or drafting QB's battle might be a little bit better. Niners, Bears. Right? Another winnable one. We take a look. They're playing the NFC North, obviously, as we keep going through. They got the Jaguars in there. The Bengals. You know. The Vikings. A team that's now without their O-line coach and run game coordinator, as we said. Atlanta. This is a team that could be a turnaround squad. You know, but and they're only, what, 2 years removed from being in the Super Bowl up at one point? up at a pretty good point in that game. I think with Matthew Stafford, this team would have been perhaps a legitimate contender for the NFC West. But at the same time, we have to remember what's going on in that division. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals came on strong. Kyler got hurt. They wound up in a weird spot. That team's going to be pretty good with J.J. Watt coming in. Seattle went 12-4, kind of a little bit of a collapse towards the tail end, a little bit of a weird team, but they're pretty good. And oh, by the way, the team that could have, or the team that did, rather, steal your QB, they were 10-6 last year. So now you're in a spot, sans Matthew Stafford, where you are comfortably the worst team in this division on paper. On paper. So you're going to have to take advantage of that weak schedule and steal some games. And you're going to have to do that perhaps by using Trey Lance's athleticism in certain packages or throwing him out there. But the thing that I really want to talk about is what was this Jimmy Garoppolo contract? And look, up front, if you remember, we talked about it for years here. Jimmy Garoppolo's contract was horrible. It was horrible. Like, as bad as you could be. You know what I mean? We're talking yearly cash per spot rec. 2018, $41.9 million. You get rid of a lot of it there, right? 2019, $18.6. 2020, $24.7. This upcoming year, $24.982. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And the following year, $25.6. There's no out in here. You're gonna have to cut him and eat it if you want, or he's gonna sit pine. You know what I mean? The guy went from making no money and having no playing time in New England to this massive, massive, massive contract, and the pressure that comes with that, obviously. But you take a look at some of the stats, and look, I watched the guy play. He's not a bad QB, but take a look at his stats. 17, he plays 6 games, they go 5-0. Ooh, 7 touchdowns, 5 picks. 18, he plays 3 games. 3 games, 5 touchdowns, 3 picks. 19, he puts it together, he's in all 16. 27 touchdowns, 13 picks, 4,000 yards, a little under. But that team was fantastic around him. And I'm not saying it's easy to be a quarterback of a good team, because there's QBs that throw games away all the time. But what I am saying is, you take a look back, look at their rushing yards. Raheem Mostert popped off a little bit. Matt Breida was still there contributing. They had 3 running backs. You include Tevin Coleman. 3 running backs over 500 yards rushing. Take a look at the receiving core. It wasn't fantastic. In fact, I would say it was bad. Sans George Kittle, who at that point put up 1,000 yards at the tight end position. Deebo Samuel with 800. Emmanuel Sanders came in to chip in. But on the defensive end, they were a pretty darn good team. You take a look at their road through the playoffs, they blow out the Packers by 17, they hold the Vikings to 10 points in that playoff game, and they're front-running on the Chiefs for quite some time. I mean, if Jimmy G makes that deep pass, I forget who the receiver was, that deep pass late in the Super Bowl, it might be possible they win the Super Bowl with one James Garoppolo. And if they win the Super Bowl, then maybe we're not talking about Trey Lance. Maybe we're talking about, well, you go, Jimmy G. And obviously last year, Jimmy G, 6 games, as we said, 7 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's just not that guy, and they rushed into this contract. And look, and I keep crossing sports, and I'm sorry if you don't like it, but, you know, I like to think that a lot of people branch out a little. A guy like Fernando Tatis, who's one of the faces of baseball now, got a 13-year deal, and he's had some injury issues, but he's shown you a heck of a lot more than a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo did when he got his monster deal. You can front a monster deal to a guy because of potential, but usually you kind of win on the back end, and you can make the argument, look, they paid him big up front, so maybe they did win on the back end. I don't think that would really be accurate in the slightest in this case, because they're still paying a stupid amount for a guy who might not even start come the middle of the season. Number 5 in the standout 7, let's talk about Tom Brady. You know, that's my favorite subject. Love me some Tom Brady. Tom Brady reportedly played all of last year with a torn MCL, medial collateral ligament, in his left knee. His plant knee. You kidding? You kidding? Rob Ninkovich, Tom Brady playing through an MCL injury isn't crazy. Yes, yes it is. Yes it is, Rob. Yes it is. Ninkovich went on to say on Get Up, a show that I don't even know how it's still on. Look, he's tapped. He is number one, very tough. Don't question Tom's toughness. He's a tough guy. Sometimes you can hit Tom. Sometimes you can get on top of Tom, drop weight on Tom. He enjoys it. It's weird. It's a little sus statement. It doesn't surprise me that he would fight through injury the whole season. But on the flip side, I'm going to say this. Guys are playing with an MCL. To play through an MCL isn't crazy. I think every single football player has played through some type of injury, especially an MCL, which is probably the least most important. Least most important part of the knee. That's his words, not mine. It's not like a grade 3 tear, grade 1, grade 2. You put a tape on it, you put your Don Joy brace on it, and you go play football. That's what everyone does. Tom playing through injury, it's very tough. A lot of guys who play through injuries. Shut up, Rob. Look, you might be right. I'm sure you are. It's quarterback. It's quarterback for a guy that looked old just the year before in a new system with new teammates that he's never played with before. Come on. Like, you're joking. You're joking if you think this isn't impressive. And look, I'm not a Tom Brady fan. You heard it in the outset, and if you've listened to the show, first of all, thanks for sticking around. And if you haven't, I'm not that guy with Tom. I thought Tom looked bad the year before last when he left New England. He looked bad. His team looked not very good, and I thought they were overrated, and they lost to Tennessee. So when he came down and did what he did, and he played darn well. Did he miss some throws? Yeah. Did they get a little lucky here and there? Yeah. Every champ does. It's the way it is. Nobody has the hardest route and wins it all. Come on. You have the hardest route and you get a couple breaks. You know? Everybody gets a couple breaks. It's just the way it is. We were debating, and by we I mean me, debating on talking about the Richard Sherman thing, but I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a grasp on all the details on this. All I can say is that video was very jarring to see. Of a guy like Richard Sherman, who at sometimes can be so eloquent with some of the quotes he gives, and really likes to dive into some of the deeper things, both in the NFL, surrounding the NFL, it was jarring. It really was. And you know, nobody's perfect, and you hope that whoever's in the wrong here, if a crime was committed, that justice gets served, and that's the most PC way I can say it. Because, like I said, I don't know all the details explicitly. I haven't studied it, but I saw that video, and it was not painting Richard in a very good light. I tend to think that would hurt his aspirations of being on a team this coming year, obviously. So, we might have seen the last of Richard Sherman. It's a shame. Is Richard Sherman, has he graduated to the point of being a Hall of Fame candidate? I don't know. We'd have to break that down. I know the NFL lets anybody in, quote-unquote. Not as bad as the NBA, but, you know, it's a little bit easier to get in. I mean, he's got 5 Pro Bowls, all pro 5 times, 3 times on the first team. An iconic player, you could argue. We take a look as we head to the official stat supplier, no sponsorship being paid, but the official stat supplier of this show, Pro Football Reference. I mean, last year, 5 games, a pick, played all right in those 5 games, I guess. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's a shame to see it. If he does never play again in the NFL, it's a shame that he went out that way with an injury. Hampering that last season. It's a shame to see him go out this way in terms of public kind of, I don't know if it graduates to the level of disgrace, but I think if you're a Richard Sherman fan, seeing that video, it's not what you want to see, to put it lightly. Alright, so here we are. We're pushing towards the half hour mark on what is the July episode of the show, and you can make the argument. Usually, it's either the June or July episode that has the least content where we try to stretch it. Last month, obviously, we did the QB tier list, I believe. I think that was last month. Yeah. So, last month we did the QB tier list. We could do another tier list if you want. I don't think we want to go through and, hey, who's the better running backs in the league? Who are the best pass rushers? It sounds like it make for decent content, but you know what? We're in July. Hope you're all enjoying your summer. We got through the big bullet points here. The COVID thing, keep an eye out on that. Obviously, we're going to be back August the 21st to talk about the upcoming season, things like that. And I tend to think we're going to see, we've seen two coaches already. I think that number might push up towards maybe somewhere between 5 and 10. Now, there are a lot of coaches employed in the NFL, so it's quite possible that number could get even higher. Maybe it'll stay at 2. Who knows? Maybe we'll see some players really talking about the thing that's going on, and then it's how it affects the league, how it's going to affect their livelihood and things like that. But as we sit right now, I tend to think it'd be best to just call it an episode. I'm going to be honest with you. We'll call it here, and we will be back next month with our next episode. So thanks for joining us for an abbreviated, for the first time in a long time. Remember, the original episodes we aired were between 30 minutes, 45. Now we're pushing an hour on all of them. So a little bit of an old school half hour episode 107 of the Necessary Roughness podcast presented by Last Word on Sports. Join us August 21st for the following episode. As always, I'm your host, Nicholas Donatic, signing off.